All right, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll try to keep it as brief as I can, but to still make the point as we head into this new year. Today we're in between Christmas and New Year's. It's not New Year's yet, but I want to challenge you with a passage of Scripture that helps us to prepare for the new year. How many here make resolutions for a new year? Well, you know, at least have tried maybe in the past, all right? Okay? This is a time where we have an opportunity to make some resolutions about what we will do, and I encourage you, what we will do in our spiritual walk with God. I challenge you. Maybe you don't have any other goals for the new year by way of losing weight or by way of whatever. I challenge you. Think about your spiritual walk and what God might do through this next year. And so this passage kind of encourages us along those lines. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll be reading actually verses 1 through 17. 1 through 17. Our main passage we're focusing in on is 15 to 17. But I'd like us to see the context. That's always important, that we don't take a verse and just yank it out of its context in which it was written. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And by the way, that's talking about someone who makes it their practice, their lifestyle, to live in complete disagreement with God's word. That's what it's talking about. They will not inherit the kingdom of Christ or God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine on you. Here we are, text for today. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's bow in prayer as we listen to God's word this morning. Father, I pray that as we head into this new year, that we would determine to live for you. May these few thoughts that we have together remind us of our responsibility and remind us of our need to determine that we will live for you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we think about the context, there's a contrast in verses 1 through 14 of dark and what? Light. Darkness and light. Darkness represents those who do not care about God. They have no regard for Him, do not have faith in Him. And so the darkness is really characteristic of those who are unbelievers, not saved, those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ. The light represents those who are believers, those who are followers of Christ, who know Him as their Savior. Unbelievers are characterized by, in this passage, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, foolish talk, crude joking, and disobedience. That is typical of the unsaved world without God. We shouldn't be surprised by that kind of lifestyle, by that kind of pattern of talk and living. But we should be surprised if that's the pattern of Christians. Many of us have heard statistics, and really, unfortunately, many of the statistics about the world out there are becoming very characteristic of believers in the local church, and they ought not to be there. Light needs to be separate from darkness. And so then for the believer, it talks in this passage that we were once darkness, but now we're light because of faith in Christ. And so we need to live like people of light. And so characteristic of that is love and thanksgiving, doing that which is good and right and true, being imitators of God, being called saints, and living lives that are pleasing to God. So that's the context, contrast between light and dark, that we ought not to live like the people who are living in darkness, but we ought to live as children of light. Now, notice verse 15. Look carefully then, or therefore look carefully how you walk. The NIV expresses this passage, this portion, this little phrase better in its understanding and meaning. It says, therefore be careful how you live. That's really what it's talking about. Be careful how you walk. In this passage, it means be careful how you live. The last few days in our household, it's been rather chaotic, but it's been wonderful. You know, Josh is just out of control. No, you know what? But it's been fun. It's really been fun. But we've used a phrase over and over again, at least I find myself. Be careful. Watch yourself as they're teetering on a movable car, and they're just on their tiptoes reaching for something. That's kind of a time to be careful. Standing on the back of the chair and reaching out for things as the chair is teetering. Be careful, you know. As they're going over and taking Jason's nose off of his trach and pulling the trach out. Be careful. As they're wanting to help us feed Jason. Be careful, you know. Why do we do that? Why do we tell children, be careful? Because we don't want them to hurt themselves. We don't want them to put an eye out. We don't want them to end up in the emergency care center down the road in front of Jacob's High School. We do that not because we're mean, but because we want to protect them from danger. I can't help but, you know, as you think about even as kids grow up, be careful now as you take the car out for the first time. Be careful. Watch yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Here in our passage before us, it's kind of that Paul is writing, be careful, pay attention, because I don't want you to live a life that is fruitless. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I don't want for your life to end in a disaster. I don't want for your life to be wrecked, for your testimony to be hurt. I don't want for you to bring shame on the name of Christ. So, be careful how you live. You know what I love about a new year? I get a chance to start over. I think back of this year in my life, and I would imagine it's the same in your life. You look back and you say, you know, there's some things that I wanted to do for God, but didn't do it. There's some things that I didn't want to do in my life, and I did them, and I'm ashamed about that. But it's an opportunity for 2016 to be different. Don't you like that? It's a new opportunity, a new start. And so I'd like to give you three different points. A long introduction, and I'll keep the points short. We need to live with discernment if you're filling out your outlines. We'll give the main points first. We need to live with discernment. We need to, second, live with discipline. And third, we need to live with direction. Discernment, discipline, and direction. Well, let's start, first of all, If we want to live properly for God in a life that's pleasing to Him in 2016, we need to live with discernment. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk or how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. What would be another word for unwise?
Fool.
Exactly. And the Bible has a lot to say about the fool, especially in the books of Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Look carefully then how you live, not as fools, but as wise. The fool says in his heart, there is no what? God. And he lives in accordance with that belief. The fool hates wisdom and instruction. The fool is proud of his own folly. The fool is not careful how he lives. Instead, he runs headlong into it, and it's nothing but disaster. The fool just does not listen. But the wise person, if you're following your outlines, number one, the wise person fears God. What does it say? In the Word of God, Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It begins with a proper view of God. The wise person fears God. Second, the wise person listens and obeys God. I love it as I see our grandchildren growing up and I see them learning what it means to listen, learning what it means to obey. That is a wonderful comfort to my heart. We all had to go there. We all had to learn it. And it's the wise person who looks to God's word, who listens to it and obeys it. Third, the wise person sees wisdom as very valuable. Very valuable. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get it. And in all your getting, get understanding. And he goes on to say later on in Proverbs 8, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than to get gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So the wisest thing we can do as we heed God's warning to be careful how we live, the first thing to do is we need to live with wisdom or discernment. Second, we need to live with discipline. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. The NIV says this, making the most of every opportunity. New Year's resolutions are great in this regard. We are determining, with God's help, to set goals for ourselves that we will, whether it's lose weight or exercise or read the Bible more or pray, that we will determine, with God's help, to be self-disciplined in many areas of our life. But notice this area that he addresses, Paul addresses here, is the use of our time. Making the most use of our time. Making the best use. Making the most of every opportunity that God brings our way. You see, time is limited. Time is important. It's hard to believe. Where did 2015 go? It seems like only yesterday we were in January, February, March. Where in the world did it go? Time is brief. Time goes by so fast. There was a little poem that says this, just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. The book of the month, this last month, and you've noticed in your bulletin, maybe you've read right over it or jumped over it, is a book that I heartily recommend to you. It is a short book. I think it's only 100 pages. You can get it on Kindle. I don't have any special money that comes to me for advertising it. But it was life-changing to me. Just if it was only for the definition that it gave of what it means to live a productive life or a productive year. Notice, I've put it in your notes there before you. The book title is Do More Better, A Practical Guide to Productivity. And the definition is this: productivity is effectively stewarding our gifts, talents, and time, energy, and enthusiasm for the good of others and to the glory of God. For the good of others to the glory of God. Throughout that book, it reminds us, our lives are not to be lived for me. They are to be lived doing good works for the purpose of helping others and all for the glory of God. That definition was fantastic for me. It was very helpful to me to look at how I use my time. Am I really choosing the best things for my life? Am I using my time wisely? Every one of us are given 168 hours in a week. And we need to make the best use of that time. Opportunities for work, for service, for reading the Word of God, for praying, for making disciples, opportunities for witness. In the book of Colossians, Paul has in view the evangelizing of the lost when he says this: conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, toward unbelievers, making the most of every opportunity. In this verse, verse 16, why are we to make the best of our opportunities? Why, class? What's the reason for that? Help me out. All right, to share the gospel, yes. In our context, what does it say? Make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Most of us look at the evil days in which we live as obstacles, as defeating circumstances, as pressures that we want to be rid of. But I'd like for you to think of it in maybe a different way. If you were not under pressure, how could you show forth the grace of God to others? If you did not go through trials, how could you ever show that Jesus Christ is sufficient? If we are not always needing to make demands upon Him for help and saying, Lord, I need You desperately, would we ever really come to fully know our Christ better? So it's the evil days in which we live that are opportunities to be light in a dark world. These are evil days, yes. There's widespread fears and tensions and violence, but also because of the materialism, it creates an emptiness and a hollowness in people's lives. But what is the result? It is the evil days that make people want to know more about the truth about God. It is the evil days that give us opportunity to demonstrate Christian life, the Christian life. Therefore, buy up the opportunity. Help us to show, may we pray that God would show us the way to be a bright light in the midst of a world that doesn't know where to turn in all the stuff that's going on. We need to live with discernment or wisdom. We need to live with discipline, especially in the use of our time. So much more could be said, but I'm wrapping it up. Third, we need to live with direction. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The first point under that outline is don't be foolish. Don't live like fools. Don't live stupidly. And you know, I have to say that as I look back at my life, there are many times I lived stupidly because I did not listen to God's word. And Paul is saying, do not be foolish. That's the way of the Gentiles or those without Christ. But live as if Christ makes a difference. Don't blindly swallow all the rules and the codes of living of the world around us, but live in a way that is in accordance with God's word. Don't ignore God's counsel. Don't live foolishly. But rather, second, God's will can be known and it is good. When I was growing up, I had a weird sense of God's will. I thought that God had His will for us but it was like on the end of a string, out there like a carrot on the end of a string. It was way out there, and as I closer I got to it, I think I'm zeroing it. It yanks it away and takes it out further. God's will is not something He wants to keep from us. He wants us to know it. He wants us to know it, and it is wonderful. God's Word. How do we find out His will for our life? Through His Word, through prayer, and through the counsel of godly people in our life. We've talked in our Sunday school, in our life group, about mentoring the older in the church, in the faith, mentoring the younger. And we need to seek out the counsel of those who've been in the Christian life for a long time. How can I do this? What's a better way to do this? We need to go to them because that's a part of understanding God's Word and God's will for our life. God's will can be known, and it is good. It is good. Some of us are afraid to live for God because we're afraid He's going to make us miserable. If I follow God, I won't be happy. That is a bunch of old terminology, hogwash. I am most joyful when I'm following God's Word, when I am doing what He wants me to do. I am so thankful that God didn't give me my wishes back years ago where I wanted to do my own thing. I didn't ever want to be a pastor. I'm glad He didn't listen to me. He led me into the pastor. I love doing what I do. And Romans 12 reminds us of this. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is something we need to remember in the new year. God's will is best for our lives. And all believers are responsible to do His will. Maybe you're sitting there this morning, you're thinking, you know, but that's fine for you as a pastor. You go right ahead and do God's will. I am not going to do it. I don't care. That's nice for you. It's nice for my Sunday school class teacher. It's nice for the deacons, for the teachers, whatever, leaders in the church. Folks, it's for every believer. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, it ought to be your heart's desire to follow in His way. If you don't have that as your desire, I would begin examining, do you know Christ as your Savior? You ought to have a desire. So by way of review, we need to live in this new year with discernment or wisdom. We need to live with discipline. Discipline means hard work, yes. It's going to be hard work making a choice between video game and Bible reading. Okay? Let's put it right where it's at. It's going to be difficult to turn off the TV and pray. And I'm speaking right here to me as well. It's easy to just kind of spend our time on just doing our own thing and not making a difference. Let's make 2016 be a different year. Let's discipline ourselves. Let's do the hard work it takes to use our time in a way that's pleasing to God. And third, we need to live with direction. We need to live with direction. If I were to drive to Denver, Colorado today, and I just decided to get on a road and just go, that would be the most foolish thing in all the world. I need to get out a map. I need to find out what road to go on that takes me in the right direction. That's very, very important. And God's Word gives us the roadmap for our Christian walk. So why do we stay away from the map when it gives us the direction we need for our lives? Our culture is becoming more and more like the first century all the time in which Paul wrote this letter. Political corruption, sexual immorality, pagan religions dominated that society, and we see it today. It's not easy to be a Christian. When Paul wrote this letter to them, to the believers at that day, he knew they faced some real challenges. But we are facing challenges today. But rather than look at it as being a horrible thing, I'm going to go stay in my own room because I can't face the world. Look at it as an opportunity. Evil days present opportunities for us to shine forth the light. The darker the night becomes, the brighter the light can shine and make a difference. These verses remind us that life is more than a party. We need to have a greater goal than having fun. We need to take life seriously because God has a purpose for us being here on this planet. And it's not simply to have a good time. We are to do good for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. May God help us to make a difference for Christ as individuals and as a local church in 2016. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it's my heart's desire today to please you in 2016. May that be the goal of everyone here. In some small decisions that we make, small resolutions, that we would determine to be a brighter light, that we would determine to use our time in a wiser fashion to make a difference. Oh God, we cannot do it without your help. Please help us to discipline ourselves to do that because we know that's what pleases you. Thank you. Guide us throughout the remainder of this year. May we please you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.